You're listening to the Right Mindset Podcast with Raquel Henry. This is episode 19. This podcast is sponsored by and associated with my writing studio, Writer's Atelier. I'm an author, editor, writing coach, and part-time professor who believes that mindset work is the cornerstone of writing success. Hi, all. And welcome back to another episode of the Right Mindset Podcast. So whether this is your first episode here or your 19th, I am super grateful that you're here, that you are listening, and that you are hopefully enjoying this podcast. Actually, I just realized, and I totally bypassed it, that my podcast anniversary happened. So the podcast is officially a year old, and I only realized it as I was getting the intro and outro together for this episode. So I'm going to have to do a special episode celebrating our 1 year anniversary. I don't know what I'll do yet, but I'm thinking it needs to be fun and it needs to involve some kind of giveaway. Because, I mean, is it really a celebration if we're not giving something away? Plus, I just actually really like doing giveaways. So I will be brainstorming that, and you guys can look out for it hopefully within the next week or two. So lots has been going on. We actually just wrapped up the Winter Park Book Festival. Can't tell you guys, it meant so much for me to plan this particular festival. And I just, you know, I want to thank Winter Park Public Library for, you know, really seeing my vision and allowing me to come in and do this. But the theme was literary activism, which, you know, is a topic that has just kind of grown more and more important to me as, you know, recent events have sort of brought to the forefront that, you know, we need to be talking about how to, you know, do the continuous work within publishing, to be honest. So it was a fantastic day of panels discussing, you know, how we can show up and be literary activists and how, you know, we can really continue to be this, to do this work and amplify voices who are or who have been traditionally marginalized. So thanks for everybody who came out. The panels are actually recorded. So if you are interested, I'm going to link in the show notes to the panels. It should be out on the library, either their website or their YouTube channel, but I'll get the link and it'll be in the show notes for everybody if you want to check it out. Also, we hosted Kristen Durfee, who is a long-standing member of the Writer's Atelier community. This was her fourth novel. We hosted her launch party. And some of you probably don't know this. So if you're local, you might know Kristen. If you're not, if you listen to the podcast and you're you know, a little bit spread out from Florida, Kristen walked into the studio after finding us on Craigslist 1 year. She was releasing her debut novel, which is, she has a trilogy called the Four Corner series, and her debut YA novel was coming out. She walked into the studio, she set up an appointment, of course, but she walked into the studio, you know, wanting to launch her book. And we have like a little sitting area in our old studio with a couch and everything. We sat there like we were old friends, just discussing, you know, writing and life, and ended up hitting it off, and she hosted her launch with us that year. And then we went on to become really great friends. And so since that, we've helped her launch every single book. So this was the fourth launch party that we've hosted for her. And I think, you know, right about now, it's really become a tradition. I think Kristen would agree with me on that. And I honestly can't say enough great things about her and her work. And I really sincerely hope that you guys check her out and check out her book. It's called Mass. And I will put links to it in the show notes if anybody is interested. She is honestly wonderful. She's a wonderful person and a talented writer. So you guys go check out Mass because it's awesome, just like Kristen. And also I'm looking forward to, you know, hosting her future book launches because I personally think she's just getting started. Okay, so those are some things that have been going on with the studio. The studio is also going to be hosting an online retreat if anybody is interested in that. And it's really just for writing. We're going to be all accountable to each other, and we will be on a video together on Zoom for a weekend, and we're going to have basically a writing marathon. So if anybody wants to attend our online retreat, you can go to Writers Atelier, the Writers Atelier Facebook page. It's facebook.com/writersatelier. And we have not posted the info just yet, or actually, I guess by the time you listen to this, it will probably be posted, but we post all of our events underneath our events tab on our Facebook page. So if you're interested in that, you can check it out. All right. I think those are all the things that we've been up to at the studio. Writing life has been wild also, and there are lots of things that I have to tell you guys, but I can't tell you yet. Hopefully I'll be able to tell you at some point in the future. But yeah, writing life is fantastic, and you know, it's going well. I'll say that. Okay, so today's guest is also awesome. You know, I love talking about my writer friends because I feel so fortunate to be in such a supportive community, whether I have met the individual in person or whether I have met them online. And in this case, our guest today is Jenna Hartley. And Jenna and I have really been online friends. I talked to her on Instagram, actually. But she's a romance writer, and you know, just been following her for a while. And she also follows Writers Atelier. And I just, you know, I admire her. She's definitely one of the ones I admire. And one of the things I love about Jenna is that she also believes in mindset work and also minimalism. And if you've heard me talk about minimalism, internal wannabe in minimalist, one day I'm going to get this down. It's something that I've always wanted to adopt in my life. And I think I continue to make strides towards it. I just am not there yet, but I would like to be a minimalist. So once I knew that, you know, Jenna also, you know, believes in mindset work and also is a minimalist, I had to get her on the show. So here's a little bit about Jenna's formal bio. Here it is. Contemporary romance author Jenna Hartley writes about strong, independent women and the men who dare to love them. Her characters aren't perfect, they're authentic. Her passion is to make their stories feel as real for readers as they do to her, infusing each one with sexy, sweet, and laughable moments that reflect real love. When she's not writing, Jenna spends her days chasing after a hilarious and imaginative toddler, as well as hunting down new allergy-friendly recipes for them to cook together. She lives in Texas with her family and loves nothing more than a good book, good chocolate, and Topo Chico. Let's listen to my interview with Jenna now. Welcome to the podcast, Jenna. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. It's an honor to speak with you. I've followed you for a long time, longish in my world on Instagram. And so it's exciting to finally meet with you.
Well, I also enjoy keeping up with your Instagram as well. I love seeing all the things you're up to and, you know, the books you're releasing and stuff. So it's mutual. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Jenna? You know, what is it that you write? Who is Jenna? Who are you?
Something I ask myself a lot. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Jenna Hartley, and I'm a contemporary romance author. I write about strong women and the men who dare to love them. So I aim to empower and inspire through my stories and through my, you know, social media as well. I'm very passionate about writing strong female characters who aren't perfect. You know, they're flawed like all of us, but they have this kind of journey that we get to go on with them and hopefully grow as well. And, you know, the men who love them are very supportive. They all have different issues to overcome, whether it's a female who's kind of has a hard time advocating for herself, like at work, or just other issues. Like maybe I wrote about a single mom who's in her mid-30s and she's kind of like dealing with some body issues after having had the child and things like that. Mm-hmm. So kind of things that I think that a lot of women, myself included, can relate to.
I love that. And so, what are some of your titles?
So I
Just so
have
people know.
Perspective, which is a art professor student romance. And then I have Unexpected, which is the nanny single parent, except that it has a twist because the nanny is a dude, so a manny.
I love that.
Thank you. That one was really fun to write. And then I have Irresistible, and then Unpredictable. So sometimes the titles all kind of, get confusing. But when you look at the covers, you can clearly tell them apart. But yeah, Unpredictable. And then I've had Unwritten, Hotshot, and then another book coming out in April.
Yay. Hotshot is recent, right? That's pretty
Yeah.
recent. Yeah.
That was late February, and it was part of Chrissy Bromberg's Everyday Heroes world. So it's kind of a shared world situation.
Oh, cool. And what's the name? Do you have the name yet of the one coming out in April?
I do. It's called Inevitable.
Ooh, I love it.
It's a little bit less, it's a little bit less positive than the other ones. It's funny because sometimes when I was thinking of titles, I would think through, I almost made a joking post about all the titles that got axed, right? Like
Oh.
irresponsible or all these terrible words, but it's just kind of funny coming up with titles sometimes.
Yeah, I would like that post. I'd be curious to see what titles didn't make it. That's cool. So, Jenna, tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get started writing? Like, did you always know you wanted to be a writer? And what was the moment where you decided, like you wanted to really make a go at this, make it a career and take it a little bit more seriously.
So I would say yes, I always wanted to be a writer, but in my head, I was probably going to write some nonfiction book researching like the history of women in power and how they manipulated their image to maintain that power. I was a history undergrad major, and so I've always liked that. And also, there seems like there are a few women represented in history or in power, and so I wanted to
Yeah.
explore that. But then I realized that was kind of sounded like a lot of work and maybe boring. And
Yeah.
I think the deeper motivation came from just I've always been fascinated about like why people do the things they do, the decisions that they make. And so I felt like writing romance really allows me to explore, like those motivations or just the way that people's decisions impact their lives. So.
Yeah. So you pretty much and correct me if I'm wrong, you pretty much independently publish your books, right? So I want to know a little bit about what your decision, was like. Why did you choose to go that route? And the reason I like to ask these questions is because I cannot insist enough, when I'm talking to writers at the studio, what I tell them, like there are so many paths you can take to get your work out there. The journey is so different for everyone. And I really like people to hear about all the different ways that, success can come about. So what was your deciding factor? How did you decide to do that?
I think maybe many years ago I would have considered querying and applying to like a traditional publisher, but then I had some friends who had success in indie publishing, and I think realizing that I was a control freak and I often perhaps work on a faster timeline than traditional publishers who, are
Oh,
writing
yeah.
and publishing for like a year, year and a half out. And it's like, I do not have the patience to wait for that. And so I think the control factors plus lack of patience, and just being able to kind of do it how you want to define your brand and your stories. I think that was something that's very important to me. And even writing in shared worlds has been very, it's fun to have that opportunity, but it's also like after having had control, it's hard to
Yeah.
relinquish some of it. And so I
Yeah.
think that was a good experience to show me like, would I ever want to traditionally publish? Well, I probably wouldn't turn the opportunity down if it was the right opportunity,
Right.
but it would also have to be the right fit because of, how much leeway I have in getting to do things how I want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I am in both worlds. I don't have anything formally like in traditional publishing, as in like published full length. But I like being with both my feet. my, you know, with one foot in this world and one foot in that world, because I too am a control freak, and I do like that. I feel like it sort of extinguishes the, you know, the control side, and I'm able to like still have, you know, I publish specifically holiday romance novelettes, and that like being able to like control that realm, it really. I like it. And it's then, so then like when I'm trying, because I've been working on a, on one novel for like 7 years now in the traditional realm. Yeah, it took me that long to get an agent. Yeah.
Wow.
But anyhow, yeah, it is a long process. And I find that being able to do that side of it with, you know, my indie stuff, I don't have to worry as much about like, you know, how long it's taking.
Right. Well, you found the right balance, right? Like where you're a hybrid, where you still get that control over some projects, but you're willing to relinquish it for others. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But I agree with you on that. It does, like that traditional world is very, very long. It takes so much time. And even if things happen quickly, like you get, you know, you get an agent or you get a deal, the process to actually put the thing out is also pretty lengthy. So yeah, it's a lot of waiting. But you know, writing, right? You know, so tell me a little bit about, you know, your mindset going forward as you're putting out books, because a lot of us experience things like fear and, you know, imposter syndrome even. And how do you deal with that? Specifically, I guess let's talk first, you know, about fear. How did you, were you afraid to actually, you know, put that first book out? And what was that like? And how did you push past that fear?
I think the first book was almost the easiest because I was the most excited and enthusiastic, and there were no expectations, right? It was like nobody knew me, nobody knew my writing. It was like a whole new frontier. And then I feel like as I've continued to publish books, I almost feel like some of that fear has crept in, because it's like, you know, a reader would love this book, and then they'd be like, this is your best book yet. And then it'd be like, well, crap, how do I top that again and again? You know what I mean? And so it's like each story is different. And I think, you know, for me, overcoming fear is one, reminding myself that there are readers who love my stories. Not every reader will love them, but there are a core of readers, and I get messages, you know, that it's like, I mean, I remember one that really touched me, that she had said, I just read Unpredictable and I had been going through a breakup and it really helped me through it. And I started posting, you know, like post-it notes, like the main character does, to remind herself that she's like, you know, stronger than she thinks. And I'm like, that motivates me to keep writing, to know that the story resonated with someone, to overcome that fear, you know, of like my own, I guess, ego or vanity, to think about like the impact it might have on someone else. I feel like the other big key is having a group of very strong female friendships that, you know, my beta readers, I would say I have 4 beta readers, and they all bring different things to the table, and they all are incredibly encouraging and supportive. And, you know, recently with my book, for some reason, I had kind of been having a little freak out around it. I think because I had, it required a lot of editing, because it had been a short story that's being expanded into a long one. And it was like a different challenge for plotting it than I was used to. And I got to the end of it and I'm like, what am I even doing, right? And I'm talking to them and they're like, okay, well, you know, they're helping me figure out like, is there something specific in the story that's bothering you? Are you just generally feeling anxious? Like, where is this coming from? And try and work through it. So I think kind of having strong friendships, reminding yourself of why you write, and also, you know, focusing in on the things that you can control or that are specifically bothering you, whether it's in your story or your life circumstances at the moment.
Yeah. So what would you say? I mean, I totally agree. Community, I think, is so important. And, you know, I used to have a friend who, like, he's a writer, and but he's very like closed off, so doesn't really attend very many writing events, like is very specific about the ones he attends. And I was having a conversation with him, and he was very much like, well, the only thing you really need is yourself. Like, you just sit in the room and like, you know, you're right. And I just was saying, I was thinking to myself how I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to like down, you know, get down on what somebody believes, you know, or anything like that. But I thought it was just a little sad because I, for me, we don't have to do that. Like, sure, we could. Like, technically, that's true. Like, all we need is right to sit down at the desk by ourselves and write because we are the ones writing the books, right? And the things. But we don't have to do that. Like, we don't have to be alone. Like, we can have a community of people and we could have support. And I find that, you know, I was studying a few years ago to get my MFA, and like, one of the things that made me want to start Writer's Atelier in, you know, the brick and mortar part of it was that when I would go to residency, I had all these writer friends, you know, and we would sit around and never forget it. We sit around and like talk about our stories and work out issues in our stories together and just like talk about writing. And then, you know, I would have to pack up and leave and go back home. And like nobody, I had no one. And, you know, of course, you know, you talk to people online, but it's also sort of not the same. But anyhow, I really wanted to create that where I was. I wanted like that feeling of community. And that I have found is one of the building blocks to being a successful writer. And it helps me to keep going because I talk to my writer friends all the time. If I have a bad day, I cry. Like, we have a group and I just text them and we, you know, and they help me, they lift me up and they know what I'm going through. And I think like when you close yourself off and when you don't have that support system, it makes it that much harder to continue on. It's really easy to fall off, you know, and maybe even not get writing done. And I just think community is so important. I can't even recommend it enough. But, you know, I also run a studio that is like has a community component, so I'm a little biased. So you mentioned, you know, about that reader that gave you that positive review. I have a question about reviews because reviews can also affect mindset for a writer. So how do you deal with the folks who aren't leaving reviews that are so like they're not so great? And how do you sort of pick yourself back up? Because I feel like, you know, you could read a review one day, a bad review, or even like you didn't even mean to read it. Somebody could tag you because people do that. They're really bold on the internet. What do you do when someone, you know, gives you sort of like negative feedback? How do you continue on? Because that could really stop you from writing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to me for, am I happy with the story? And yes, I do read reviews sometimes. Usually it's like initially to get snippets like for promotional reasons. And typically those are ARC readers. And so typically they're pretty positive because they're people who already like me and my books. That's not to say that I haven't read negative reviews of my books. And, you know, I think it sometimes depends on the day and the mood you're in, whether you're like, oh no, like I don't agree with that. Or, okay, you know, like that's your opinion, you know, like whatever, moving on, right? I think to me, the thing is ultimately when I finish the book, am I happy with the story and am I proud of it? You know, my husband's aunt, I'm very close to her and she had stayed with us for a while during the pandemic and earlier in the pandemic, sorry, we're still in the pandemic. Yeah. And so, you know, she's very wise and was a very good, I feel like she did a really good job raising her kids to be self-sufficient and confident. And she often told me this story about how like her son was getting frustrated, I think, with piano lessons and, you know, like getting graded and the ratings and things, you know, assessed by his teacher or like English class or whatever it was. I don't remember, but basically she would ask him like when he was done with his paper, like, are you proud of what you did? Regardless of what your grade is going to be, do you feel like you've done the best job that you can? And is it something that you're proud of? And, you know, if he answered yes, then great. You know what I mean? And so I feel like with writing, and especially with these stories, it goes back to one, why do you write? But also to, you know, like, am I proud of the story regardless of what someone else says about it? Because people are going to have different opinions, right? It's like anything. I mean, people love football. People hate football. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what it is. You're never going to please everybody. And really, you should think about, like, are you pleasing yourself? And are you pleasing maybe your core readers and the mission that you stand for?
Did you have any tips for, like, if you to really fall in love with the story itself? Like, how does a writer be that confident in their work? Do you have any advice or tips for that?
Oh, geez.
I know that's kind of a hard question, and that it just popped into my mind. I'm like, that'd be interesting to see what your perspective is on that.
I mean, I feel like some stories come to me easier than others. Some I like more than others, just for whatever reason. Maybe the characters were nicer to me and it flowed easier, right? And so it's like, I feel like, I think as a writer, you probably, everyone has stories they're maybe more confident in. And I think it's overall, as a writer, I guess, am I doing the best of my abilities at the moment, but am I also continuing to try and learn and grow and improve, you know, my writing, my craft and things like that? And I know you've talked about a growth mindset on your podcast. And I feel like that is such an important thing, is to realize that, you know, you're doing the best you can now, but you're still striving to improve. Like, you're continually striving to learn and improve. And so, you know, to me, that means reading craft books and listening to podcasts and, you know, focusing on, you know, the kinds of themes that I want to tell in my stories and stuff like that. So that's my advice for confidence.
That's great. Yeah. I think the learning component is so critical. You know, that's another thing you wouldn't believe the amount of writers I come across and just have some really out there conversations. But, like, you know, and it's not to knock anybody. It's just interesting the way people's minds work. But yeah, like, I've had conversations before with writers who feel like you can get to a point where you don't need to take classes anymore and you don't need to read any more books, right?
That's kind of my brain exploding. I think me, though, like, I've always loved learning and I have a natural curiosity. And so to me, there's always something new to learn, or there's a new way to look at something that you've already learned, right? Like, I may read the only books I think I reread, like, I don't typically reread, you know, fiction, but nonfiction, like craft books, I reread them and I write in them and do these things I would never do to other books for horrified readers. But I think, to me, you know, you can reread the same thing, but get something new out of it, especially, like, as you continue to age and grow as a writer and a person, it's like your perspective changes, right? Like, X number of years ago, before I had my daughter, I wouldn't have appreciated certain things that I do now, right? And so I think that that's a sad attitude to have,
right?
Closing yourself off to amazingness, right?
Yeah. And I think about how many authors exist and, like, the amount of knowledge and information that each person holds. I mean, you could learn something from everyone, you know, and I just, to me, it's just mind blowing, because I'll sit there and take, I edit professionally for a living, and I'll sit there and take editing class and revising classes, like, after edit class, and because I learned something different from each person. It's different people teaching, might be the same subject, but it's different people teaching. And sometimes I learn a new approach, and I always take away, because I'm also, like, a conference junkie, not right now, because, you know,
obviously, yeah.
But, like, before, you know, pre-COVID, I would attend at least, you know, 3 or 4 conferences. I would more usually, but I would travel to about 3 or 4 every year. And, like, I feel like I can always take away a nugget. Even if it's just one thing, I've taken something away. And I don't know, I find it really strange when people tell me they're, like, above, because people have said that, above taking any writing classes. Blows my mind. But anyhow, a quick question for you here. Do you plot out your stories ahead of time, or are you a pantser? This is a fun question.
Yes and no. I guess I'm a planter. I don't know what the plots are, whatever the yeah. I would say, you know, it's funny because in my life, I'm very much like a planner, right? And I like to know things and what to expect and expectations. But with my stories, I find that the more I try to plan them, the more frustrated I get. Like, I'm not the type of person, and I applaud authors who do this, who sit down and go through a whole character profile and everything, right? And sometimes it leads to some frustration and rewriting, but I feel like some of that is kind of just me working it out. Like whether it's I have to write it out and realize that's not the way this is, I'm fighting the characters and this is not the way it's supposed to go, or whatever. So I would say generally I start a book with like a feeling, right? So Unexpected, the first book I had published is The Nanny Single Parent. And it was inspired by Charlie Puth has a song named Boy. And so he has these lyrics in it that are like, you won't wake up beside me because I was born in the 90s. And it's all about this younger guy who's falling for this older woman, but she's kind of like embarrassed about it, right? It's like, so that, and just like wanting to write this kind of nurturing male character and kind of flip, you know, gender expectations led to this whole story. And it's like, you know, I think about, oh, there were points I remember, you know, like, I think the main character had a chauffeur at the beginning, which totally didn't even end up in there. It's funny, like some of the things that change. And so I think sometimes I have to remind myself to be patient with the process because I'm not a plotter. And so I have to kind of go through the journey with the characters.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I am, I really am a pantser, but I am like getting tongue tied, a pantser. Mm-hmm. But lately I've been forced to like plot out my stuff. And I got to say, I really don't like it. I still don't like it, but it's helpful in some regards. Like the first time I really seriously like plotted a book was a recent book, and it's a middle grade novel. That's a mystery. And I think with mystery, you do have to plan things out. Yes. So it was helpful. It's just that I did not enjoy plotting.
Yes.
And then I recently, I started writing scripts, and like, I absolutely loathe the outline process. However, I would not recommend writing one without an outline, because you have to have certain things happen in certain acts, and it has to be, you know, that way. And so I would not recommend, you know, anybody trying to do it. It's possible, I'm sure, but I wouldn't recommend doing it without the outline.
I would say, so it's, you like, know, as far as the plotting, I do feel like after a while you get kind of a good feel of like where, you know, like you mentioned the acts, especially in romance, you know, like for, not that everybody does it this way, but mine typically have the three act structure. And so, you know, there was also this class I took from Inker's Con, which I attended, I don't know, it was like 2019, but they talked about the W method. I don't know if you've ever used that one.
It's really great. I haven't heard of that, but I've heard of Inker's Con,
So the W method was really great because instead of just thinking of the acts, you think of like an actual W. For those listening, I'm like making, I keep drawing a W in the air. So you're starting out with like them meeting each other, and then like, you know, they're going through this whole like, you're showing, you know, like each of them, kind of their slice of life, what's going on, their meet cutes. And then you're going down towards that first bottom point, which is kind of like the catalyst into act two. And then it's kind of chugging up towards like this false high midpoint. And then, you know, the doubts are starting to creep in. It's going back down. And then they hit like the all is dark. And then from everything up is like the reconciliation, all that. So it's kind of interesting. Sometimes I think about, I'll mix different methods of plotting, like when I'm getting stuck in stuff, whatever, to just see like, okay, so is this falling in line or is something off, you know, that you're trying to fix. So
see, I just learned something right there. Like, see, now I want to take whatever class that was, because I'm like, oh, I'm definitely interested in this W method. Because yeah, that's interesting. That's and that sounds even, I think, you know, too, for people like writers, especially, again, there's no one way to do something. I actually think it's really fascinating that we all have these sort of different methods to our madness, right? And we approach things in so many different ways, and we all end up at that final point where we have a book. and mm-hmm. none of us did it the same as the other. Mm-mm. I think that that's really cool and really interesting. And that's why also, you know, going back to the learning component, I think it's so important to, you know, be able to keep learning, because I think different things also resonate with different people. Mm-hmm. So like that W method for the person who's been struggling for so long, trying to plot out a book, like they might hear that and say, wow, like that, this is easy. Like I can do this, you know? So again, learning very, very important. So yes. Awesome. That's cool. I want to ask you a little bit about your minimalism habit or lifestyle. I find minimalism to be very fascinating. I would like to be a minimalist. In my head, I think I am a minimalist.
I think to me, to start off with minimalism, and you can see what's behind me, which is all of my daughter's artwork, and you're probably thinking minimalism. You know, to me, there's a podcast I've listened to that defined it really well. And it's the Minimalist Moms podcast. Anything with minimalism is kind of a tongue twister, right? Yeah. So Minimalist Moms. And I think, you know, the way that they define their mission is kind of trying to spend less time taking care of things or doing things that you don't love so that you can spend more energy on the things that you do. So kind of for me, I know that minimalism can be a knee-jerk reaction for some people, like, oh my God, you live in a white house with white walls with no things inside it, right? To me, minimalism is a lifestyle that means that I'm conscious about the choices that I'm making with my time or the things that I purchase and my money so that I'm able to have the lifestyle that I want, whether that means like I'm not, you know, for example, I have a 4-year-old and, you know, her birthday and Christmas are around the same time. And she's the only child, only grandchild, and only great grandchild on both sides. So I'll just let you imagine how spoiled she is. So, you know, we were kind of accumulating stuff and we've had conversations with our family, you know, like, and they're great about, like, some of them are great, like, do you have a wish list? And so we try and pick toys that are kind of called open-ended. So they allow her to use her imagination and they can be used for many age ranges, right? Like not just a light up thing, like magnetiles. I don't know if you know what those are.
Yes. Oh, I bought some of those for my niece and my nephew for Christmas.
Best toy ever. So I would say, you know, like we try to make conscious decisions about that, but it's also, for me, I don't like a lot of visual clutter. And so it's like when my physical space is in disarray, it really gets to me. And, you know, I think for me, minimalism is finding the right amount of things for your life. And it's an ongoing thing, you know, like it's keeping only the things that are beautiful or useful, right? And so it's like, if it doesn't serve a purpose or it doesn't bring you joy, as Marie Kondo might say, then you don't keep it.
I love that. I feel like I'm on the verge of it, you know, because I feel like I almost can't even work if there's too much clutter or if things start getting, you know, out of hand. Even like I keep my books a very specific way, like they have to all be lined up. And my dream is really to just eventually get to the point where it's just me and the books. Like I'm never going to be a minimalist about books.
No, you don't have to be.
But I would like it to be where it's just like my books and space, you know, like a bunch of just space, you know?
Yes, I think that's the misperception, you know, like, so Marie Kondo, I remember seeing this meme a few years ago where people would be like, she only wants me to keep 30 books, like, oh, hell no, right? And so to me, it's really leaning into, if you love books, keep all the books you want. But if you don't love, you know, like having 50 pairs of shoes or you're not using them, then cut them down, you know what I mean? And like, donate them or sell them and then have money to buy more books if you want. You know what I mean? Like, it's using your resources the way that you want with a conscious intent, right?
Right. Yes. And I find too, you know, my desk, like I cannot have my desk cluttered. I cannot work if I need my desk to be clear. I have to even, you know, at the end of the day when I finish working, I clean off my desk and then to set it up for the next day because I can't go to the desk. with a bunch of clutter.
Right.
And people, sometimes I think people look at me very strangely when I say stuff like this, because I definitely, like in our accountability program in the Right Gym, I did a video on clutter and, you know, environment, and mm-hmm. how maybe if you're struggling with your writing and you're not finishing things, or you feel like you have writer's block, it might be due to the environment, because the environment sort of like seeps in, you know, like look around, do you have a lot of things everywhere? Mm-hmm. Is it overwhelming?
Yeah.
'Cause that could, you know, seep into your subconscious, and then you can't, you know, then you can't produce.
Yes.
But I think people think I'm nutty when I say stuff like that.
But. Oh, you're speaking my language, but I think, yeah, I think it's maybe some people, I mean, I feel like there are points in my process that things get a little chaotic as far as like sure. notes I have out or notes on my phone, and I'm starting to get, you know, a little crazy. But I do feel like, you know, there's even a book, and I like the title, I haven't gotten to read it yet, but it's like Outer Order, Inner Calm. And so I think it speaks a lot to that. I heard an interview with the author, but I haven't, my library is holding it hostage or something. And so I guess I think to me, you know, my physical space has a lot of sway on my ability to concentrate.
Yeah, I totally am with you on that. So would you say minimalism then has helped you write? Like, do you think it's influenced your process?
I think it's always been kind of a part of me. I think even my parents in a way are minimalist because they really, I don't know that they would call themselves that, but I feel like they've never really had extra stuff in their home or even in their closet that they didn't, yeah. you know, care about. And so I feel like that kind of set me up for it. And then, yeah, I feel like, you know, just, it kind of gives you a sense of purpose to clarity to think mm-hmm. about like what's important, because you're already doing that in your physical space. And so emotionally or, you know, mentally, you can think about, you know, is this important to the story, or are these files important on my desktop or things like that? I think to me, it's not just a lifestyle for my environment. It's, you know, a mental lifestyle as well.
Right. Yeah. I think, yeah, there's also the thing, you know, with mind clutter, right? And I think that those two are sort of linked, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cluttered mind, you know, you can't usually get a whole lot of stuff done, which is why actually I really like meditation. I've gotten mm-hmm. into meditation a bit over the last few years, and meditation has helped me through the pandemic as well. But I like it because it helps with that mind clutter, you know? Mm-hmm. We have a writer who does writing and meditation for us. She does like videos and she teaches some classes too. And that is her big thing. She like does the meditation and then goes to write. So mm-hmm. it's, mm-hmm. it's like all of it is just linked together. I find it so interesting. But yeah, so one other thing I wanted to ask you, I saw on your Instagram, I told you I pay attention and I read your stuff. I saw recently that you had finished a novel, and mm-hmm. you'd said that, you know, the pandemic has really hindered your process a bit, and you haven't really been able to produce like normal. So can you talk a little bit about that? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we probably covered a little bit of it, but how did you get out of that? Like to sort of finish this draft in the, you know, in the middle of a global pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I've written through other challenges. So Irresistible, which came out February of 2020. So before everything happened, most of that was written while I was dealing with excruciating back pain, and I had had back issues for years, but it had gotten to kind of a breaking point where physical therapy wasn't cutting it anymore. And so I was going through like the process of steroid shots and moving towards surgery and all of, and I like literally could not walk, which for me being a very active person, it was a very scary and just painful time. And so I wrote a book through that, and yet then the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. And after that, you know, like I had had the back surgery, I was doing really well, progressing. And so, you know, it kind of confused me, like, why can I not I think for me, you know, when the pandemic hit, I was writing the book Unpredictable, which was the last full length book I finished until now. And that book has been one of my most successful and popular. And I think that it was, I even had to take a break from it because it has some of these very, I mean, all books have emotional scenes, but it has this very tragic element to it. Yeah, obviously yeah. It has a happily ever after, but her background circumstances had some things that I felt like I really, it took a lot of emotional energy. And at the time I had been invited to do Corinne Michael's Salvation series, Shared World. And so in Unpredictable, this character Juliana is planning a wedding with this guy Harrison for his daughter. So I was like, yeah, I need a break from the intensity yes. of this story. And so I wrote Unwritten, which was the daughter's story of falling in love, right? And it was a novella. So it was a little bit shorter. It was even lighter. I mean, ultimately, all my stories have a message of hope in them, but I felt like Unwritten was a lot lighter and I could kind of breathe again. And then I went back and finished the full length book, Unpredictable, the dad's story. Mm. So there was that. And usually, you know, it's like I finish the project and then I move on.
Right.
But that I think helped because they were kind of interwoven. And so it was fun to get to explore those characters more so that I could fully finish the dad's story. And then yeah. after that, I mostly wrote like either like a Christmas novella for a newsletter anthology. I wrote a short story for a charity anthology. I wrote another shared world project that was a novella. So it was like, I didn't even realize until like a month ago that like, wow, like I have not finished a full length novel since, you know, 8 months passed. Because wow. I was the timing yeah. of everything. It was just, I had a lot of releases, but they weren't full length releases.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, I think it hit me because I was talking with a friend like on an IG live or something and they'd asked me like if the pandemic had changed it and I was like, has it? And I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, it really, yeah. it has. And I didn't even realize it. And I think I needed those shorter projects for that sense of completion because I'm very much a person who likes to finish things and know that they're done.
Yep.
But I think that ultimately, like, I was so driven to write the story that I just finished and like to see it through to completion, even though it was a very frustrating book at times because it was plotted in kind of a different order. Like I was expanding basically the midpoint and like having to figure out their beginning and like just very
yeah.
different. And so I think for me, it was a fun challenge, even though frustrating at times. And I think that wanting to see what happened to those characters and really being driven to finish their story kind of helped me overcome, I guess, the shorter story issues. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's so important to have that flexibility though, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think we get writers, right? Like we get in our heads, like this has to be this way. I have to do these things, you know, but I think really that flexibility is really important. You said, mm-hmm. you know, you normally don't, you know, you normally like to finish something and then move on to the next. And in yes. this case, you yes. had to just go to something go else and it. Come back to it.
Right.
So I think having that's a really important lesson is like being flexible with basically everything, right? Like
yes.
whether it's deadlines or whether it's, you know, 'cause deadlines obviously are important, but you know, I'm a believer in the fact that like, time is an illusion. Like the things still get done and they will get done. And you know, yes, deadlines are also important, but at the same time, we also have to give ourselves some grace. And I think like that comes with the flexibility, right? You've got to be flexible in your methods and how you get to, you know, whatever the goal is. Mm-hmm. So I think that's super important. Well, I'm glad you finished another full length project. That's exciting. Is that yeah. the one for April?
Yes. Yeah. It's the one for April. So it's been through the beta readers. And now I'm working on round one of edits and getting it ready to go. But yeah, I'm excited about it. It's a little bit different because it's a little bit steamier and a little bit angstier. I mean, all my books have steamier, but you know, this one is a little bit angstier. And so I think it's going to be fun.
Yay. Well, that's awesome. So Jenna, how do you take care of your mind outside of writing? What do you do?
I mean, for me, physical activity has always been important, and I feel like keeping a routine, I know that's maybe not what everybody needs, but for me, a routine is incredibly important. I mean, I also have the fact that I have a young child who thrives on routine,
Yeah.
and so our days are very predictable in a sense. Predictable as much as they can be. I remember for a while in the pandemic, I was like waking up and just checking Instagram, and I knew like just checking my email and going on social media first thing wasn't like the best for me, but I just like that was what I needed at that time. And then eventually I was like, okay, like I'll just get up, at 6 and do a workout or do my physical therapy stretches or whatever, like just be alone for an hour with
Yeah.
like music or a podcast and some kind of physical activity. And so I feel like that has really helped, kind of getting back into that, as opposed to at points I was trying to work it in later in the day or whatever. But, I realized that wasn't always happening. And if I just did it first thing, it was done and I didn't have to think about it. And having that time, whether it's to listen to music or a podcast, kind of helps center me. And I'd say we spend a lot of time outside, which I very much enjoy. And that helps with my mindset. And I try to be better about like setting boundaries, but sometimes it's hard because, if nap time doesn't go as planned and there are a lot of
Yeah.
interruptions, I don't accomplish as much. And so that means maybe I'm working on something in the evening. But I'm fortunate that my husband's very supportive, and that, all my family is. And so there's kind of that flexibility where I try not to be as rigid about like, if I don't write X words today,
Yeah.
whatever. And so I've learned to be gentler with myself as far as like, well, did I accomplish certain things? I don't know if you've ever used a bullet journal. People you call it a bujo.
Can't get into the bullet journal, but I have lots of writer friends who use it. Like our admin at the studio, Megan, loves bullet journaling. That is like her thing.
So I don't have like the fancy pretty versions. Mine is actually probably like the most boring, ugliest bullet journal ever. But it works for me, right? Because it's like I have a system, because before that it was just like I had too many lists, too many places. And so I think this is a big key to like why to
Yeah.
keeping myself sane. So
I think I have some level of that, like the concept of the bullet journal, because I really just like a notebook.
yeah, that's what mine is.
And I just put stuff in it, and it looks different every day. Like sometimes I use the Eisenhower matrix.
Okay.
Sometimes I use the Eisenhower matrix. Sometimes it's just a list. it's not anything special, but I just, I think like the idea of like doing the like making lines
Layout.
even and all that stuff in the bullet journal, like
No,
I can't.
no. Mine is like, here's the date, and it basically is like, a 2-page spread, and it has like,
Oh.
two days. It has 4 days on one side and then 3 days on the other with like weekly goals. So it's nice because then I can see it all there, and then it's like, there's a priority line, like the three most important things go
Yeah.
above that. And so it's very, very basic.
Well, that's, I guess I should try give it a try again, because I suppose that is my misinterpretation of it, because I'm like, look at all the pretty stuff these people are making like
It's
that.
crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's just I don't have the time or desire to do that. So mine is,
Right.
what I like about the bullet journal is that it does what's called the rapid logging. So it's like the things you need to do, you just write them down in kind of a short form, and then you have a little bullet point next to them. And then it's like if you have done it, you put it where you turn the bullet to an arrow. So it's, or that's if you need to do it in the future. If you've done it, you make it an X. If you're not doing it anymore, you cross it out. So it's like a
Yeah.
very simple, like for me, it's like I kept pushing off things to the next week. And so I was like, maybe I need some weekly goals instead of like having this a mess. But yeah, I mean, it's adaptable, right?
Right. Yeah. I like that. And that actually might help some people listening too, is because I'm sure there are some folks that like can't quite find the right
There's a video that I
planner
really
and
liked.
stuff.
If you, I think it's on, if you Google bullet journal, I think it's like on the original website. The guy that
Oh.
started it, I think his name is Ryder Carroll. And he has like a 5-minute video where he just explains what I was just saying, but where you can actually see it visually, and it's much better laid out.
Let me, if you, when you send the bio, maybe you can send the link for that, because I'd love to put that in the in the notes for anybody who might want to look it up, and I would like to look it up too. But yeah, it sounds kind of cool. So if a writer were to come to you and ask for advice and say, Jenna, give me a piece of advice here, I am trying to make it as a writer. And there are all these, you know, struggles and roadblocks and things along the way. What's your best piece of advice for this person?
I would say I'm still trying to make it as a writer. And I would say that there will continue to be roadblocks and obstacles, but it's the way that you handle them and the way that you continue to adapt and learn. And I would say the biggest thing, like we talked about, is continuing to have a growth mindset where you're always willing to learn. And I think the biggest thing for me is looking at all as an experiment. So it's like, well, say I'm working on Facebook ads and I get frustrated because they're not going the way I want or whatever. Right. Sometimes I have to remind myself, okay, this is an experiment. You're testing it, right? It's just like if you're putting something out on Instagram, well, you know, you never know what the algorithms are going to do. You can't control that. You never know how many people are going to like or respond it. You're putting it out there and you're testing it, and it's an experiment. Sometimes it works. Sometimes people like it. Sometimes they don't. So I think it's having that, having a growth mindset, but also knowing that things change and you have to adapt and willing to look at things kind of with a curious attitude.
I love that. Writing as an experiment. I love it.
I don't always manage it, but I try to remind myself of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great, I think that's a great way to look at it, and a great mindset to have. Mm-hmm. So where are you hanging out? Where can people find you, Jenna?
You can always find me on my website or on Amazon. So it's Jenna Hartley, H-A-R-T-L-E-Y, or on Instagram, it's at author Jenna Hartley. And I usually post things about books, sometimes about life, the crafts that my daughter and I are doing, or recipes, or more recently, I've gotten my dad into romance novels. And so
I saw that. That is so cool that your dad reads romance novels. Yeah. Although I'm like, he's reading all of your
He's reading all of mine, yeah. I try not to think. Sometimes I'll think about that when I'm writing, and I'm like, just don't think about it. Don't think about it.
That's really nice, though, and sweet that he's reading your books. I love that.
It's super sweet, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Jenna. We're going to link all of that stuff for everybody so that they know where to find you. It'll be in the show notes. Thanks so much for being here. I'll see you on Instagram. You know, I'm a fan of yours, so you know, I'm going to be keeping up still. So
definitely. Well, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for having me. I appreciate all of the things that you put out there through the Writer's Atelier and your podcast, and I know that I've benefited from it, so I hope that others will too.
Oh, yay. Thanks. And that's Jenna Hartley. I'm so glad we were able to chat and that she was able to share her journey and mindset strategies with you all. If you have not checked out Jenna's amazing romance books, what are you waiting for? She's also been in some really cool anthologies, and I'm going to link to all of that stuff in the show notes. So Jenna also has a pretty cool Instagram account as well. So if you guys want to check that out, that will be linked as well. Thanks as always for listening, you all. If you're enjoying The Right Mindset, I encourage you to subscribe and leave us a review. You can also check out Writer's Atelier at writersatelier.com or on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. If you're interested in joining our membership, you can do so through Patreon. Special thanks to our podcast editor, Allie Grauer. Take care and happy writing life.